We're going to get right into the scripture this morning. I want to start right in the middle, verse 45. He causes the sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. He causes the sun to rise on the evil and the good, sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. A guy I can't remember hearing about before, Lord Bowen. He was an English judge who lived in the 19th century. And he wrote a little poem on this verse. He said, "The rain it raineth on the just, and also on the unjust fella. But chiefly on the just, because the unjust steals the just's umbrella." Which would be particularly true if the nice guy had recently read verses 40 through 42, right? He would let the mean guy take his umbrella, he'd hand over his raincoats and his boot too. Lord Bowen, I think, has a British view of rain, which would be that there's too much of it, and it's irritating. But Jesus and his followers would have had more of a Middle Eastern view of rain, I think. The thinking would generally be that there's often not enough rain. And they would never forget the connection between rain and life. Never forget that their lives depended on rain. I grew up in California and went through some droughts, so I did learn to appreciate rain. But even more, when we lived in western Kansas, an agricultural community that is also prone to drought, I more fully grasped the connection between rain and life and livelihood. I learned never, ever complain about rain. Our friend, who was the Methodist pastor, made an announcement before her congregation about a picnic coming up. And she said, "Oh, I hope it doesn't rain that day." And they gasped. They couldn't believe that their pastor had just said out loud, "I hope it doesn't rain in God's house." She didn't do that again. The Father God has generously given us all of the resources of creation, including the sun and the rain. That's grace. We often talk about forgiveness of sin as grace, and it's appropriate. That is also grace. But what about just the world that God has given us? Just. I mean, all of the resources of creation that God has given us. We get the sun and the rain that we might live, not because we're good religious folks, not because we're just, or maybe we're not, not because of how moral we are or not, not because we're good or bad. This life and the resources that sustain it are gifts from God. This day is a gift from God. Each breath is a gift from God. It's God's grace. So when Jesus tells us to love people that we don't want to love, when Jesus tells us to pray for people that we don't feel like praying for, it's about being like our perfect, loving Heavenly Father, verse 48. It's about imitating the Father who loves each and every one all over the world, who gives the sun and the rain indiscriminately. It's about imitating Jesus, who died to demonstrate that love for the whole world. Not for just some of the world, not for just the good people, for the whole world. So in response to that, Jesus calls us to live with open hands, ready to give, even if the taker has bad motives and we know it. Verse 42 says, "Give to the one who asks, and do not turn away from the one who wants to borrow from you." I thought about one of my favorite parts of Les Misérables by Victor Hugo, that old French novel set in the French Revolution, you know, made into musicals and movies and all that. Jean Valjean had been in prison for 19 years for stealing a loaf of bread, I believe for his sister's child. When he got out, he was a broken man. He was angry. He was afraid. He knocked on a bishop's door. The bishop invited him in, and he spent the night at their house. Well, he was supposed to spend the whole night at their house, but he stole silver from the bishop who had opened his home to him and ran out. He was caught. Police brought him back to the bishop's house. The bishop pretended that he had given the silver to this man. He would not let the police apprehend him. And he said, "Here, you forgot these two candlesticks." And he gave him two additional gifts. That moment set in motion the transformation of Jean Valjean, and it turned him into a hero. And it led to all these other good transformations around him. It started with a gift to one who didn't deserve it. And we know that it's not so nice and neat in real life. People don't always change when they receive grace, certainly not right away. But I think what resonates about that story to so many of us is the power of forgiveness, the power of unexpected grace, the power of that to change us and to change the world. We see Jesus in the bishop when he gives that gift that was not deserved. He loved an enemy and then turned him into a friend. He gave to a thief and turned him into a good man. And that's what Jesus does for us. Maybe we're in for a test of this now. The modern translation could be, if anyone takes your hand sanitizer, also give them toilet paper, right? But really, we don't know what's ahead for us. We don't know what's going to happen with the new virus. We don't know what's going to happen with financial markets. We don't know what's going to happen with our local economy. May God give us grace not to tighten our grip in fear, but to hold loosely to our possessions, our money, our plans, everything. May God give us the grace to love like our Heavenly Father. We don't know what's going to happen, but I think we have reason to believe that people around us are going to be in need, whether it's directly because of the virus or maybe more likely the indirect changes that we're experiencing, the school closures that are going to be harder on some families than others, the financial problems that are going to be harder on some than others. Let us be the hands and feet of Christ to our neighbors in need at this time. A Covenant church in Rhode Island, I saw they put up a new website, and they're calling it Run to Coronavirus. And then it has three tabs. One is, I need help. And people can fill out a form and explain what they need. Another tab is, I can help. And you can fill out a form, and they'll contact you if they need volunteers and whatnot. I don't know that we're going to, you know, I don't know that we're high tech enough to really be starting a new website or anything, but we want to be ready to help our neighbors. So Pastor Chris and I will be looking for ways that we can be Christ's hands and feet, and we want you to be looking as well, looking out for neighbors, looking for people in need, and seeing how we can be generous. at this time. And so talk to us if you see needs in your own community that we may not be seeing. And we'll keep our eyes open together that we can be generous at this time. Finally, I invite us this week to take breaks from our worries and our screens. This is for me too. Take breaks from those screens. Look outside. If you can, go outside. I'm really hoping to get outside this week. And look, notice that God has given us the sun to warm us and nourish the crops that keep us alive. And God has given us the rain, which I think we might have later this week, that we might live. Take a look around at the world that God has given us. Be grounded in His creation, in the beauty of His creation. Notice the evidence of God's grace in each day and each breath. Let's sing.